Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This one's for you tonight.
Okay, let's get started.
It's turtle time again.
Happy turtle time.
Happy turtle time, everyone. This is going to come out on a day in which you do not expect it to happen, right?
We're just freewheeling it these days.
Yeah, well, so what's happening is that sometimes when you and I are together, we think Summer House is so beautiful and powerful that maybe it's worth talking about it on a separate day.
A little quickie.
Yeah, a little quick. Yeah, this is not going to be like full deep dive 3 hour. This is like down and dirty, stinker minute. With Amy and I, where we just get into Summer House, which I thought was an amazing episode. And since we're here together, I mean, let's just talk about it.
Yeah. We were just saying that it is a blessed Good Friday, but we've been having a great Friday.
Yeah. Normally, people just have a good Friday. But this one in particular, I mean, one of the best Fridays I've ever had in my life. Really. I mean, this is up there.
A true TGIF.
TGIF. And the reason why we're saying that is because if you're watching YouTube, you're probably like, what the hell is going on? Why is Riley wearing a robe? Why is there a bunch of beautiful perfumes and stuff that looks like it's from Provence? Right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah. The south of France, baby.
We got, right before we started recording, at Ken and Lisa's shed, which everyone who's a Turtle Time listener knows that we record some days at Ken and Lisa's beautiful Villa Rosa shed. Ken, we heard a knock at the door. I go, Ken, please let us record. It's just going to be a 45-minute episode. He wasn't pissed like normal. He had a gigantic box. How big was his box?
Huge, like arm to arm.
Ken, imagine Ken's arms out wide. Imagine
his wingspan.
Imagine Ken's wingspan where he's coming to give you a huge bear hug. He's like, you've done a great job. I love you like one of my children. Imagine Ken gives you that kind of hug on Good Friday. He's like, I don't know what he'd be hugging you for. But he had, in his outstretched, hug-ready arms, a box that's the size of him.
In a beautiful, sort of like lavender, purple color. Very yes. Lisa, very Villa Rosa.
Yeah, so we opened it, and Amy and I are so in the Vanderpump Villa tank right now, because what was inside is a bunch of beautiful Villa Rosa, what is it, Vanderpump, what do you call
it? Curated by Lisa to represent the wares and the offerings of the beautiful south of France where she has her, what is it called?
Villa? Chateau. There's a paper that explains it, but it's basically like she wanted, well, Ken and her wanted Amy and I to feel like we are in the south of France at a beautiful villa being pampered as if we are at Chateau Rosabelle. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like a little, does Belle, Belle means like little, doesn't it? Or girl?
Good question.
Anyway, it's like Villa Rosa, Rosa Belle. Like she got to name this beautiful south of France. You can't see this probably on YouTube. No one can see it listening to us, but I wish we could auditorily tell you how beautiful this Vanderpump Villa box is that we received. I mean,
it's serving pure luxury. I was truly shaken to my core. We had no idea what was going to be inside. It has Diptyque, room spray, soap, lotion. It has a parachute robe, which Riley is wearing right now. Beautiful, a bundle of lavender.
Did you say sleep mask?
A sleep mask, like a silk sleep mask, macaroons.
I'll just say this. I feel like I just got to Chateau Rosabella and they said, Riley and Amy, I'm going to take you to your room that you're, you know, that you guys are staying in. Here's the stuff that comes with the room. Right? Don't you feel
we're
like
we're in
the
lap of luxury?
And we, Amy and I, don't get good things often. You and I are sort of unlucky. Horrible stuff happens to us. So the fact that when we opened this, I thought it was going to be like, I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought Ken got his beef jerky and water and
Slim Jim.
I thought he was just like, here, I think you guys, I don't want you to sue me if you die in the shed because it's like the air conditioning's not working. So here's like a bunch of shit for survival skills.
Yeah.
It's the exact opposite. Chateau Rosabella. It's like, you should see it on YouTube. I think this is the one time I would say switch over to YouTube just to like get you there and just see the stuff that we're talking about.
I feel so pampered. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah.
So, oh, and then this goes without saying, obviously you know this, but Amy and I are fully bought. If anybody gives us anything, you know we will never have a harsh critique of you ever in our lives. So we got bought big time by Vanderpump Villa, and we're going to talk about it every single week. And I would say probably flattering light, right?
I can't wait to see if these contestants can hack it as the newest member of her enterprise.
Will they adhere to Vanderpump's very high standards?
I don't know. And I can't wait to find out. I love Lisa. I love Hulu. I love Disney. I love Bob Iger. I go all the way to the top.
Me too. Bob. Bob. You knew we liked you before. You've been very good to Turtle Time. I know we're kind of, I don't know. I mean, you love us. But this was like, thank you, Bob, right?
Oh my gosh, this is on a different podcast. I heard apparently Josh Gad was going to the mat for Bob Iger on social media. He was like, he runs Disney with true love and care. Thank you, Bob Iger, for giving us so many Disney treats. Well, God bless you.
Well, you know who else is going to be very similar to Josh Gad? I'd say pulling a Gad. Thank you, Bob Iger. I actually did read a couple chapters of his book, The Ride of a Lifetime.
Oh, wow.
It talks about him buying... Oh.
Is that about Disney rides? Is that the double entendre?
Totally. It's very theme park centric or whatever, a pun on theme parks. But actually, Bob Iger's incisive insight into managerial shit, he bought Pixar, he bought Star Wars, and it talks about the meetings he did to get those wonderful properties. I mean, I'm sure if he would do another book, part two, he would talk about getting Vanderpump Villa.
Totally.
As part of the Hulu umbrella.
If you played like Disney brand Monopoly, I feel like Pixar and Star Wars would be the blue, like, boardwalk properties.
Yeah, you're right.
And Vanderpump Villa, too.
I think Vanderpump Villa... here's what I'm saying. Monopoly board, she's past boardwalk, and there's a pink square, or this kind of beautiful lavender that says, Chateau Rosabelle. Wait, Lisa Vanderpump Rules Monopoly is not a bad idea.
Let's make it.
Like, sir...
Yeah.
Sir Alley is the early stages.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to them.
Yeah.
Villa Rosa is obviously Boardwalk Empire. And then Chateau Rosabella is a step in the even
past.
And then all of the little things are a bottle of rosé, the little characters.
Yeah.
Bottle of rosé.
Something about her, a little sandwich.
Something about her sandwich. Worm with a mustache. Maybe if they wanted to include something mean that James said.
Jail.
Jail
just
is...
Jackson Jail.
Jackson Jail. And he's holding a tin cup where he said that he got... quarters to go do his jail phone call. You remember? Wait. You're with Jackson Jail and he's telling you a long story about his DMV records, right?
I love this. Actually, during COVID, I made a custom Torrance Monopoly where we used a label maker. I'm from Torrance, California.
Oh, good.
We put local like restaurants and bars and landmarks. We labeled them.
That's so fun.
It was very fun.
Was the one I know Tony's.
Yeah, that was
on there.
Is
that Torrance?
Well, it's technically Redondo Beach, but I think we might have put it on there anyways.
Good, because I like Tony's.
Love.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay, well, so Vanderpump Villa, I mean, You got us. I mean, it's
April 1st, Mondays at whatever time.
And Amy already said this, which is good. This isn't an April Fool's joke. Go on YouTube. Do you see a box of Vanderpump Villa right next to me? This is not an April Fool's joke. When you go to Hulu, Vanderpump Villa will be there for every single Monday until this season ends, yeah. Right? And this thing is going to be good, right?
Mondays just got hotter.
Mondays just got hotter, just like Lisa likes. And thank you. I want to say Ken Todd, especially for lugging that big box over to us in the shed. We had absolutely no idea what you were going to give us. And this was like 10 out of 10.
I'm thrilled.
All right. Well, do you think we should move to talking about something else that's just as hot, hot, hot? This maybe possibly the episode of Summer House that we watched.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm jealous. I didn't even realize that there was an after show. This is the first time they've ever done a Summer House after show,
yes.
I think. So I didn't see it. So as we go through, if there's any relevant information that came out of that, please share, because I'm dying to know.
Yeah, but I want to promote it too. Like, then they didn't even buy me. I mean, Summer House after show, that would be good to get a big box of stuff. You know,
oh, yeah.
But Summer House after show is actually awesome. I love the after shows now. They feel like it's just the people talking with their new hindsight about all of the shit that they were mad at. And it's just fun and breezy. And they talked about like the Carl and Lindsay dynamic. Like, Kyle was so pissed talking about Lindsay and what she had done to Carl, and it's very good. And I think they're realizing the power of Summer House finally.
Yeah.
And they're like, this season deserves a show. So yeah. It's season one, episode one of the after show. They just like started it in the middle of the season to capitalize on the Carl and Lindsay dynamic.
I feel like the after show is kind of taking the purpose of Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, I mean, they still do it, but like, people from the show you just watched are the guests on Watch What Happens Live, and you hear what they have to say in real time about what you just saw. And I feel like the after show is like an even more detailed version of that.
Yeah. It's kind of wild because at a certain point, this is only for like a cultural commentator standpoint, but at a certain point, we're already probably there. There is going to be too much content to consume to be able to have a productive conversation about a show.
Yeah.
Because there's just already, if Carl and Lindsay and West already had their own podcasts, plus the after show, plus the season, it's like, how could you ever maintain all of the information in the world that we're supposed to have?
I know. I'm happy to have that much information, especially about Summer House. But yeah, I really hope that's a good sign that they put more resources into Summer House.
Yeah, to me, it felt like Bravo stamp of approval. They're kind of like, what the hell were we doing? We're leading up to an explosive demise of a relationship between Carl and Lindsay. And it's a testament that the next episodes must be great and they want their feedback. So I'm so glad they did it. And I haven't checked, but like, I feel like Summer House is in the cultural conversation more, even though maybe the ratings, I don't know what the ratings are doing. Because remember, it was like dog shit ratings at first.
I know. We need to check back in on that.
But it must be picking up. Because if they want to do an after show for it, it means like we're putting resources behind this.
Right. Thing. Yeah. I hope so. Maybe, I wonder if I assume it's worth it because then they get so much like social content out of those two. Like I feel like they clip those out.
Yeah.
Anyways. This one was fun. I thought this was one of their great parties.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you about it. I was like, this is maybe the one party. I mean, I don't know if it's recency bias, but this was like one I would want to be at so bad.
Yeah.
It looked so fun.
Everyone came to play with their outfits.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it was, the parties used to always be like this. And more recently, I don't know why, but this felt like old times. Like the tea party and like all of the ones of the past that were so fun and themed.
Yeah.
This felt like that.
Yeah. Everyone had a good like costume or outfit or whatever. Like everyone was so into it. And it was a unique idea, like a unique theme for a party. I never seen anything like that. Like a little mini NASCAR speedway vibe.
Yeah. And then Carl brought in like a real car.
And he was like driving it in the backyard. And
he had a mustache.
He had a mustache.
West wore those lethal glasses.
Oh my god, yeah. Craig was a mechanic.
Oh yeah, he was covered in dirt and oil.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a very fun episode where the Carl and Lindsay relationship is a little bit on the back burner, but everyone is still in the sort of aftershock era of what they all witnessed. And really now they're like trying to have actually productive conversations with Carl and Lindsay independently about the state of the union between them and what's going to happen. And both both Carl and Lindsay get, like, advice from different factions of the house. Like, Lindsay has her now confidants.
Yeah.
Like, Paige and Amanda kind of were like, wow, like, Lindsay, we know what you're going through. Like, I'm sympathetic to your side.
Yeah.
And then Carl has his boys telling him that, like, they're worried for him.
Yeah. I feel like Paige was just trying to be nice. I feel like at her core, she's still like, you're the problem.
But she really, really, she said it a lot.
Yeah.
Two different times. She was like, I almost felt like it was like line in the sand. Like, I am declaring team Lindsay, even though I want to talk to you about if that, like, if that was earned.
Paige wasn't there for the worst of the worst. I think when she watches it back, she's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And also, I think they do allude to this on the after show. We're kind of going ahead, but they do allude on the after show that Lindsay talked more openly and sort of explicitly about the failures in Carl and Lindsay's sex life.
Yeah.
And so Amanda and Paige might have more information that we even got. Because from their initial conversation with Lindsay, I was like, I don't know. Like, you're rallying behind her just because you heard they have sex once every 6 weeks or whatever. But I think there's more that they heard.
Right. So. Yeah. 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 More to come. I did like Paige's take on last week's episode that when Lindsay said that her and Carl have sex every 2 weeks, Paige said what I always say, that everyone lies about the frequency. And so she did her quote girl math and calculated that 2 weeks meant 6 weeks.
But I thought it was the opposite. I thought you and I always used to say back in the day that people on Bravo lie about doing or having sex with each other more.
Well, yeah. So if they're only having sex every 6 weeks, she lies and says it's every 2 weeks.
Oh, so Paige is adhering to that math.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
So because on average, people are like, all the housewives are always like, my husband's a very virile man. We have sex 3 times a day. And it's like, no, you fucking don't.
Yeah, we talked about it. Like, when they'll go on a trip or whatever, they're all like, okay, yeah, me and my husband made love in the Uber on the way to the airport. And then we had sex in the airport bathroom right before we got to the... Okay, so you're saying... so. But then didn't you think that Paige and Amanda also being so shocked by that?
They were lying too.
Like, I feel like Amanda didn't have any reaction to that because
Was like, don't compare me. We've been together 10 years. And I was like, that's right, baby.
I know. I know Carl and Lindsay are, that's a unique situation. But the reason why Craig and Paige are making love so often is because they're sort of in a unique era. They're like,
and they're long distance.
Yeah. Like, they want to have sex with each other anytime they see each other. They have bouts where they don't see each other. And they're, I would say they're still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah. Well, Carl and Lindsay technically should be in the honeymoon phase.
They should.
They haven't been together very long. They've been engaged less than a year.
Yeah.
Like, what's the problem?
You're right. You're right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll parse that out a little more because that's the main thing that Amanda and Paige use as evidence against the Lindsay and Carl dynamic on Lindsay's side.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, nothing major happens right at the beginning. They're having that Southern cooking dinner that Sierra and Lindsay did. They talk about Jesse's dating life. Apparently he's dating a ton.
Yes.
And then Kyle makes a joke about Jesse hitting on Paige the first couple weeks with Craig at the table.
A joke is
well, not really a joke.
It was to me, I don't want to blame Kyle for this, but to me it was Kyle is verging on being almost too producer brain.
Yeah.
In my opinion. We say it a lot, and it is very good. It is very essential for him to go like, what's you and West, West and Sierra, what's going on there? Like, in Winterhouse, he was definitely the initiator for a lot of conversations. But sometimes I'm like, Kyle, you just did this to bring up that conversation, at the table.
It's kind of like Tamra vibes.
Yeah, I was just like, Kyle, I want to know that I think he should rest assured that Summer House is very good right now, and it's ripping, and we love Summer House, and if you just are true to yourself in every scene, we're still going to like it, and I don't think you need to propel the plot forward. That was my main takeaway from that, but what I loved is that the way Kyle put it, it was actually the most awkward thing in the world when he said it, and it didn't turn into a big blowout.
Like,
it was more like everyone was mad at Kyle for saying it. Like,
I know. I didn't think it was that bad because Craig wasn't mad. Like, Craig and neither Craig or Jesse really gave a shit, so I don't get why anyone else would be so mad if the people that it was about weren't mad.
Well, Jesse was, Jesse wasn't mad because he's a cool person who, yeah. like, he could have been legitimately very mad. Craig could have been legitimately mad. Like, no one knew, no one, Kyle didn't know how anyone would right. react. So his intentions were not good. And he right. tries to, like, double down and say why he said it. Right. But
I did love that Craig was just like, my girlfriend's pretty. I would hit on her too.
Yeah. And he was like, you want a girlfriend that would get hit on by people. Like, Craig's reaction was so awesome to me that, like, because they had been touting this big, like, rivalry that, like, what's going to happen when Craig gets into the house? Is he going to beat up Jesse, or is Jesse going to have to, like, you know, whatever. But it's like, I loved it. It was like a very mature, normal way that Craig handled it. Yeah. And he was just like, yeah, I understand why Jesse did that.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a shit. But Amanda was furious.
Yeah, she was really, really mad. She says at some point, she says that I thought that he would just ruin the vibe for the whole weekend. He had no idea how Craig, you know, would handle that at all. Like, it could have been a, you know, a blowout for the entire weekend. So he's like, so, but I liked that it was, I liked that this, like, curdling conflict that they thought was going to pop off ended up having the most, like, surprise ending that just, like, no one really cared. Craig didn't give a shit.
No.
And Jesse didn't even get that mad at Kyle. No. He was like, dude, he was like, that was a little outrageous.
Yeah.
But, like, he's still, like, nice about it, which I thought was sweet.
No drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Paige was like, I think Amanda is low key still pissed about Kyle talking to me about her the other week. So Amanda just seemingly wants Kyle to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And then the awkwardness after in that scene, like, it's so awkward that then Kyle and Amanda, like, have their own kind of awkward fight at the table where he's like, you're bound like a ball of yarn. He's like, you haven't even kissed me today. Like, they have not a Carl and Lindsay-esque, but, like, it was a pretty bad fight in the house. Like, if you were Craig coming into the house and you had heard that Carl and Lindsay were bad, and then you witnessed that fight at the table, you might be like, wait, Kyle and Amanda are doing pretty bad right now.
Right.
You know?
Even though Carl and Lindsay are doing so bad that he just didn't even come on Friday because he was like, I would like to spend less time with you.
Yeah. And in the after show, I think I can bring it up now, Lindsay says that she did not know that is why he was not coming on Friday. He told her that he was just going to go, like, visit someone, and he was bringing gifts or whatever, and that's why he was coming. So he did not make her aware of the Friday night fight avoidance.
Wow.
So she was like, they were kind of making fun of him, obviously. In the after show, she was saying, like, is that how you deal with your problems, Carl? You avoid for a full night? Like, so she was kind of, you know, like, she was kind of mad at him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I would avoid too. then they go out to the club and it's Christmas in July themed. So that was fun.
Yeah. And I want to say, like, sometimes they don't film Summer House out. I don't know why, because they want them to just, like, party and just capture it on iPhone. So it felt kind of rare and fun to see them with full camera production there at this bar.
Right. Which Kyle, with his producer hat, used as an opportunity to pull Lindsay aside since Carl wasn't there. They sit at the bar together and Kyle seems toasted. He orders a gin floater.
on a lover boy, right?
Is that what it was?
Well, because I think every Hamptons bar that he was within a 60-mile radius, he has got convinced to have lover boy. So it's always an option when they go out. But I think, like, to make give an extra edge to lover boy,
gin on top.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah. And then Lindsay was like, whenever I drink gin, whatever emotion I'm already feeling gets 10 times better or worse. Like, gin makes me go crazy, which I haven't heard that about gin. I usually hear that about, like, tequila.
I think gin is one of the, tequila for sure. But I think gin is the one that's almost like the very divisive reaction. Mm-hmm. I think most people, or a lot of people, just absolutely can't stand gin. Uh-huh. And the people who love it, I guess, love it. If it's in your alcohol repertoire.
Sure.
Have you had gin?
I've discussed this before, but I have made the switch from vodka to gin regarding martinis, because vodka makes me feel sick. I don't know why, but I don't think I shared this story before. 2 weeks ago, I went to that wonderful bar, the Dresden, in LA, and we ordered espresso martinis, and some people got vodka and some of us got gin, because I am replacing with gin now. And we got the bill, and the bartender had rung up, like, the vodka one's normal, the gin ones, it said gin espresso barftinis.
They classified it as that on the receipt when it was printed. They, in their system, in the POS system, they have it listed as a barftini.
Or they typed it in manual just to be shady.
So you don't think it's actually, that they probably wrote that up themselves? A barftini?
I didn't see it till the next day. And I like looked like hazy eyed, like opened like the receipt from my purse. And I was like, what the hell?
Did you keep it?
I probably do have it. I have a picture of it for sure.
That's very fun. I mean, kind of silly.
Is that saying that this will make you sick? Or are they saying that is disgusting to order it like that?
I think they're saying, no, both. They're saying it's horrible
to order
this. What's
wrong with that?
I don't know. I would have never.
Was it on Summer House or Vanderpump? I've seen multiple times on Bravo people ordering espresso martinis with tequila.
Yeah.
And that sounds disgusting.
I don't know. I've only had like two espresso martinis in my life, so I haven't even had the option to ever change what's in them. But I want to do, you know, someday when I'm in an espresso martini drunken era, I want to try all of them and see what the difference is, because it seems like the espresso would fully nullify any of the adverse taste of the liquor.
Right.
But I think that should catch on. And if you want an espresso martini with gin at a restaurant, everyone should start it as a trend and say, I would like an espresso barftini, and see if enough people in the industry know and give you that.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, joke's on you, because to me, a vodka martini is a barftini.
So in your opinion, the joke was on them.
Joke's on them. Me tipped 25%.
Yeah. And I loved everything about it, and I loved them. No, that's a very fun thing to learn. So if you want to try your own espresso martini with gin, order it as a espresso barftini and see what happens. I really like that. I've never even heard of barftinis in my life. I think
it's not a great image, but so Kyle, I do think he's drunk.
Yeah.
I don't think he quite planned how to phrase what he wanted to tell her.
Not very tactful.
No. And he's basically saying, Carl, he said, as long as I've been, I think, engaged to Amanda, Carl has been telling me that he wants the same thing. So he's saying Carl has had a goal of getting married for many years now, and that it's something he wants so bad that he's willing to push through all of these red flags and problems because he wants this to work out. And you just watch Lindsay's face throughout. Like, he keeps like kind of stumbling where you're like, are you sure you want to say it like that?
Yeah.
Like,
and she says, like, please translate. She's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
She goes, what it sounds like you're saying is that he wants the marriage and he'll deal with anybody to get it. It's like, she did translate what he was saying,
yeah,
like in his like drunken stupor or whatever.
But it's like, why did he think that would be the best way to go about it?
I think, like you said, he knew having a conversation with Lindsay was pivotal and would be captured, and you know, it would be a good time to have that convo at this like Christmas in July bar. But he was too drunk to have a nuanced conversation.
Yeah.
So he just kind of led with what he was feeling. And it didn't resonate very well.
Right. But then she, as always, takes a turn where she takes no accountability for the dynamic.
Yeah.
She says that that Carl judges her when she's drinking if she's not perfectly happy. She's like, if I drink and I'm happy, he doesn't care. But if I drink and I'm like have emotions and I'm not a perfect Stepford wife, he can't handle it. And I'm like, well, yeah, because if you drink and you're happy, there's not a problem. But if every time you drink, you fly into a rage and accuse him of breaking his sobriety, that is a problem. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, that was my reaction as well. It's like, yeah, he doesn't like the horrible stuff you do when you're drinking, and would definitely prefer if it wasn't like that.
Yeah, and like,
how would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
She keeps admitting to retaliating, but she, again and again, she's expressed this like four times to different people that she sees no problem with, like getting him back for making her feel judged and like, yeah, just literally retaliating, which is not a healthy way of coping.
She's like, if you're gonna call me out for drinking, you're the one with the problem, and I'm gonna call you out for other stuff you do, meaning like weed or anger or whatever the hell demons she thinks he's wrestling with.
Yeah, that was gnarly when she was like, I'm not the one that has a problem. And I'm like, well, maybe read your Instagram comments, because everyone on earth thinks you do have a problem.
Yeah, for sure. And then Kyle kind of, he says, so you do, you know, you do that to retaliate. And she goes, yes, I do. And then they sort of just end and they hug. And it's like, okay. And I feel like Kyle and Lindsay have sort of an underrated relationship where like Kyle can say anything to Lindsay. Like they've had horrible fights.
Yeah.
But they just like respect each other in a way to where like they can do or say anything to each other. But it's like, I don't know, it's like a neutral zone. It's like they can deal with anything. Like Kyle can talk shit about Lindsay, do anything. Like last season when he was like, I've never seen someone treat Danielle worse than you, and you just had that emotionless face when she was like crying to you or whatever. Like he just gets away with like saying that. I think Lindsay can bring it back to Kyle, but they're just like, they're okay with it.
Like a couple weeks ago when she was like, I don't think I was irrational. When was I irrational? He's like, I would say you were acting highly irrational or wildly irrational. I was like, yes, King.
Yeah, it's very, it's interesting. It's like, they I don't think they can hurt each other.
They're like OGs.
Yeah.
Like they have to just, they know that they're pillars of the show.
Yeah. When they do go walk away, Amanda's still a little mad at Kyle, obviously. And when she goes away, she says they should just marry each other to Lindsay and Kyle.
Nightmare. And then later, Paige and Amanda discuss that they feel bad for Lindsay after that, you know, conversation about the sex life and everything. And Paige was like, yeah, I want to ask her what she does like about the relationship, because it kind of sounds like she's only talking about the bad. And she said, as always, she needs a friend who will tell her that she doesn't have to go through with the marriage, which, as we recall, she did for Amanda back in the day. And they were both like crying.
Yeah.
But obviously that marriage did go forward.
Yeah. But that flashback was kind of jarring to me. I was like, I want to go back and watch.
Yeah.
Like, Paige was very worried about Kyle and Amanda.
Yeah. I know. I remember at the time being like, it's a little much. I believe in their relationship more than Carl and Lindsay, but I also think that Paige is so, I really like her point of view of like moving slow. And in this episode, it's all about how she wants financial independence and doesn't want to depend on a man. And like, obviously she really made Craig like roll the brakes and like, you know, not move forward super fast. So I like that she isn't like automatic, like marriage always, like no matter what. I like that. But I also think like she is like scared of it. So whenever other people are moving forward, she's like, are you sure?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of that for sure.
Yeah, I
agree with you on that.
Which I am kind of like that too. I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? Like a lot of shit can go down. Like, are you sure?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about just West and Sierra and their beautiful love that is shining through in every moment? When they come back, West is drunk and he goes into Sierra's bed and he kind of just, you know, lays there with her and like they cuddle, and they even cuddled earlier in the episode. She's like, you want to cuddle, and
they're in the cuddle zone.
They're like cuddling. He falls asleep in her bed.
That's next to the friend zone. There's the friend zone, and then there's the cuddle zone, and then there's Bangtown.
Wait, so you're saying there's friend zone, there's cuddle zone,
yeah.
Then there's Bangtown zone? Yeah. So they're sort of driving. They just skip past the exit for, well, they're on, sorry, they skip past friend zone, right?
I think it depends on, I think everyone has a different relationship to cuddle zone. And since Sierra's a bed bug, I think cuddle zone lives closer to friend zone.
No, I don't agree with you now, and I hate when we fight on Turtle Time. I hate when we fight. It's one of the worst things in the world, but I think Sierra and West are foot on the gas, pedal to the metal, blazing to Bang Town, and banging to Relationship Town. I think when, I have the after show to qualm me. To use as evidence, they don't explicitly say it, but I think the way West is talking about Sierra, this is still an ongoing relationship. Okay. I think
I do like that they brought up all the Austin stuff and are putting this relationship in context through that one, and that like he's learning about that for, I'm going to say in quotes, for the first time, because I assume he probably watched the show.
I give him the benefit of the doubt. I really think he might have gone into this cold,
okay,
not knowing anything. He the way I'm a pretty good judge of actory stuff, and when Kyle brings up the Austin stuff, I kind of felt like he didn't know about it, or didn't know that much about Austin.
Yeah, but they basically lay it out that like Sierra was like, I was so humiliated by that Austin situation that like I'm not gonna let that happen again. So that's probably a big part of why she's like, I will take this one step at a time. And Kyle says that she's hard to lock down. She takes it slow.
Yeah. She does say a good thing, you know, around this era, just if we're talking about the whole Sierra and West and Austin dynamic, she does say that it's like, this was sort of like a mistake blip in my life, like where I just like dated a guy and he like kind of like broke my heart or messed with me. But like in the reality TV universe, that thing is like a part of your biography forever.
Yeah.
And like, it's one of the only three things that some people will bring up about her, even though in her grand scheme of things, that is like nothing to her.
Yeah.
A guy treated her like shit.
Yeah.
So it's like she's kind of almost talking about the public opinion of her too, and she will never let something like that happen again on camera, which makes me totally understand why this West dynamic is so important to her, taking it slow and really thinking about it.
They also reminded us of the horrors of Lindsay Hubbard and Austin that summer, where she just like was like, I know that you're have been in a very sort of hot and heavy relationship with Austin and he's fucking with you, but I'm gonna make out with him in front of everyone and not apologize.
This is mean as I get, down and dirty stinker minute, but seeing Austin in those scenes, those flashbacks, and now comparing him with like West for Sierra, I'm almost like, get the hell away from Sierra. Like, I know you're gonna be a nightmare to her. I'm like, what the fuck was everyone thinking with this Austin era? And it's still going on. I mean he's basically just like fighting through people that want to date him or whatever, but I was just like, damn, it was kind of a jump scare. Like, get away from him.
Yeah. And then, I remember Lindsay was like, that's just the relationship that me and Austin have. We like make out sometimes and like we're really good friends. And she was just like, deal with it, bitch.
Yeah. So that was bad. And that's what Sierra's taking into account. And if we're talking.
And then Sierra's like, Carl, your girlfriend reminds me of my belligerent alcoholic dad. You should really break up with her because your kids are going to be traumatized.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, ooh, you're going to get payback for making out with Austin at that pool party.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I guess we can go on to the race party, yeah?
Yeah, well, there was one moment leading up that I did want to talk about, which was Craig and Sierra's dynamic, which I loved seeing. I just love that, I love Sierra and Paige's friendship. I love Sierra and Craig's friendship, you know, like it's like Paige's best friend or whatever. And I do like when Craig said to Sierra, he was like, I was kind of taken aback to see you in this mode, love mode with West or whatever. He was like, I didn't know that you were attracted to those, like a goober type, he said. And then he goes, but actually, honestly, you fit. And he was like, I wanted to tell you that, like, I'm sorry about the Austin era. He's like, I would have warned you if I would have known you better that Austin was going to do something like that.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, interesting to say that about your friend, Austin, that like, if you would have known Sierra better, he would have like stopped her from this.
Well, you know, that's always Craig's crusade.
That
is like his guy friends are dirtbags.
But then I have to say, now the after show part, Paige and Sierra, were laughing at Craig for that because they said that's absolutely not true and that Craig was championing this relationship and really wanted Austin and Sierra to work out. Mm. So he was just totally doing hindsight as 2020. Like, if I would have been there, I would have stopped things. But sure. They say that's not true.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so the race party looks awesome. Everyone's outfits are awesome. Sierra did the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yes, another iconic costume for Sierra. It was so fun. And everyone looks awesome. Like we said, everyone looks so cool. Kyle looks cool as hell.
Yeah, Evel Knievel.
Yeah. And all of the like random stuff at the party is so cool. Like the track,
yeah.
Inflatable track. Everybody's kind of stunned. At one point, Amanda and Paige are like setting up like a go-kart or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much cool shit at this party.
It looks great. And then Amanda and Paige are talking about, like I already mentioned, Paige talking about wanting financial independence. They compare it to Kyle and Amanda. But Amanda says, when I got together with Kyle, he had put every cent of his into Loverboy, so it's not like he held the cards money wise because he was taking a big risk, and that she, like, he convinced her to quit her regular job to work full time at Loverboy. And she reveals that Lemoncello was her idea and it's the biggest hit, and Paige says that he doesn't give her enough credit in general for her sacrifice for Loverboy.
Kyle doesn't ever reference that, like, that Amanda was sort of the support system during the early days of Loverboy, and doesn't give her credit for Lemoncello. But we did see that Kyle gave credit to Amanda about her awesome design on the spritz. So yes. He does, I guess, few and far between, but I think he maybe underestimates Amanda's impact on Loverboy.
Yeah.
So words of affirmation there, Kyle. You need to tell Amanda how powerful she is and how special she is to Loverboy.
Yes.
But I also am getting sort of the sense that an undercurrent of this season is that Amanda might want to leave Loverboy,
yeah.
Or that Kyle won't say it, but he thinks that business and home life or whatever relationship shit is too interconnected, but mm-hmm. It's something that neither of them are willing to say, because then Amanda says, we went all in on Loverboy, or we made this decision, we needed to do it at the time, but maybe it was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So they might be setting up Amanda, like, Amanda should still be the ambassador of Loverboy. Obviously, she would promote it just as much.
Yeah.
But just maybe she shouldn't work with Kyle.
Full time. Yeah, for sure. Okay, then they are playing that fun. They're racing on these little bikes or whatever.
Yeah.
And Kyle jokingly sort of knocks over West, but then his flame sunglasses stab him across the bridge of his nose in a pretty like deep gash, and there's just blood pouring down his face.
Okay, I'll say, you said jokingly twice with things that Kyle did. These are up there with
you.
Two
thought
of
it
the...
was like a violent act.
I mean, no. I don't think Kyle obviously wanted that to happen, but it was not right.
Not cool.
I mean, I love Kyle. I sing his praises every single episode, but to do the Jesse thing at the table, which was received very awkwardly, and I felt like it was a little producer-brained, for then West to be like already winning in a hard-won race against everyone, all of the other cast members, to be at the front of the race, and then when Kyle goes up to him with this like shit-eating grin to push him, West goes, don't, like he's already winning. And then the way Kyle pushes him, it's really hard and aggressive, and it's right on the corner of the thing. It wasn't just a push for him to win. It was a diagonal push, aggressive push. I'm like, I'm not, that kind of shit I do not like.
Yeah.
I don't like that. And it was exactly what you would think would happen when you push someone into a big inflatable thing. It's dangerous. You flop over, hit the glasses that he's wearing are like plastic or hard plastic or something. They cut into his nose, and that's like, I mean, no offense, Kyle, that's like a permanent scar on his nose from you just doing this sort of, I'm not going to say bully energy, but just like, I don't know, it wasn't the right energy
he
for that.
Up.
And also, it's the way West is as a person, such a sweet, you know, like person, that it just, that energy mixed with him, I hated seeing him get hurt.
Yeah.
And you having to have the bloody nose and everyone has to run over you. It's like, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I just felt like Kyle read the room wrong.
Yeah.
And he read the room wrong at the table.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's him playing for the camera in ways that I hope are not authentic to himself. And it just had the worst result.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah, low-key ruined West's day. He took it in stride, but he had to just like sit around with a huge band-aid on his nose after that. And they tried not to show that he was getting helped by a medic.
Yeah.
But like, it was obviously a medic.
And then, it's like a game over thing. I mean, it's like the fact that he even tried to have fun after and like smoke a cigar while his nose is like gashed and bleeding and he might have to, like, you know, it's like, it was a big deal. And
it's a nice move though to get some love in from Sierra though.
Yeah, but I also was like, Amanda's reaction to at the table to Kyle spilling the beans or like outing Jesse as a flirter with Paige. I was like, where is Amanda's reaction to this? He had the exact same impulse when he pushed West.
Yeah.
But and he bled.
This is worse.
This is much worse.
Yeah, I'd be horrified if I were her actually.
It's like of all things to get mad at, if anybody did it, even if you weren't mad at Kyle and you had a relationship, if your significant other pushed someone in a sort of not fun way and then they got really hurt, anybody would be mad at their significant other.
Yeah.
So I felt like, what was Amanda's reaction? Did she truly know that Kyle pushed West and that caused this bleeding emergency? Sierra was sort of undercutting how bad it was. She was going,
yeah, she didn't care.
She was like, your little cut. She was like,
I know, because I was like, as they mentioned, she's a nurse. So, and she was like, they were like, Sierra, give him stitches. And she's like, nurses can't provide stitches. I was like, all right.
It was worse.
I was like, give him a little kiss.
Yeah, it was worse than they don't want to have an accident on camera. They do not want to belabor that.
Like, I'm surprised people don't get hurt way more in these escapades.
I always talk about this and I don't even barely want to say it, but Ken, I said, oh, maybe stop. I want to say
I was literally just thinking of that.
The worst injury I've ever seen on camera, I think, is the most despicable action. It's one of their friends who we said was killed right after. You'll never know who it was. Someone at Ken's beautiful 60th party or 65th birthday pushes him as hard as he can into his pool onto a shallow.
They didn't realize that the beautiful Villa Rosa pool has a gradual walk-in.
Which we know, that's the
so
route.
So if you fall within the first 5 feet, it's like ankle deep.
So Ken slips and hits his hip that he had just had replaced with his hip. And it's like,
it's scary to watch. I'm traumatized
by
that.
And he has to grin and bear it and pretend to be fun. It's just awful when that happens. It's like, fun. That is just not fun. And I felt bad for West, but whatever. Yeah. He got over it. He took it in stride. He did good.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to get into the Paige and Craig thing, because I feel like it just went well. Like, they just were kind of on the same page.
No pun intended. It's what I say every week now. It's like, you guys are doing so good, and you love each other so much that, like, you trying to make little things entice us into some conflict, I'm just like, I'm not buying it. You guys are killing it. This is love. You're working it out. You're rich. You live in two different places, two sought-after places, like a vacation spot and a hustle and bustle like environment. Like, it is just the perfect scenario.
Did you like that when Lindsay was like, would you give money to Paige? Like, would you chip in on the rent or whatever? And Paige is like, I don't want him to. Like, no. And he's like, I told her that if, you know, she found a really sick place that was more than she could afford, I could take it off the top and pitch in or whatever. And then Paige is like, what am I going to do if we break up? Be like, your rent is due. And I was like, Lindsay's like, $13,000's due every month. We sign the lease. pay the piper.
I've been like sort of absent of Lindsay. I was so glad to get a little glimpse of Lindsay in there. You're exactly right. It's like, that is Lindsay's future. It's like, Carlito Venmo. I'm just trying to do your impression. That was not me doing Lindsay.
She's like, can it frog?
I just want to say, to end the chapter on Paige and Craig, they are doing so good that when they look at each other's eyes, they're like, do you know how much I love you? They're like, I love you more than anyone in the world. How much do you love me? A lot. They're like, do you want to fuck right now? I'll fuck you. Like
I know. Every time it cuts to them, they're like, love you.
They're like, come on. I'm so horny right now. Like, it's like, there is just nothing stopping. They're like the sun of a relationship I almost can't watch because it's too powerful and beautiful.
And they honestly don't seem, I mean, obviously Craig is realistic about that eventually there will be a limit to how often to how long they can be long distance for.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't really seem to bother them right
no,
now.
No, it doesn't. Like, and no one should. I think they want to make it known because they want there to be some interesting dynamic to their relationship, obviously. But like, they're doing good and they don't have to let us into this world if they don't want to.
It's a 2-hour flight.
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the big thing of the end. It's Amanda, Paige, and Lindsay talking about the relationship, and then Carl and all the guys talking about his relationship.
Yep.
Amanda and Paige are basically setting up, like you said, like an allyship. They go, Lindsay, it's kind of awkward and like forced, but because they know that she's so defensive that they feel like they have to be so kit gloves. But they're like, thanks for being so vulnerable the other night, like talking about your sex life and all of that. Like, you know, I feel like that's hasn't been the case with you. Like, we haven't really been able to talk details. And Lindsay says that last summer she was so uncomfortable because she felt so judged because everyone was freaked out by their relationship because it was fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just Paige goes, thanks for talking about such intense stuff with us last night. And Lindsay's like, what did I tell you that was intense? And they go, that you guys never have sex?
Yeah, she looked offended.
Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah, I did say that. So why do you think, yeah, so, and then they said, like, Paige just said, like, I am Team Lindsay in mm-hmm. this scenario. When you have fights, everyone says, oh, poor Carl, oh, poor Carl.
Yeah.
But nobody thinks about you. So, like, why do you think
did you see the, like, grin? She looked like the like Jack Nicholson in The Departed where she's like, yes.
Oh, yeah. I actually, you know, I have to watch that again. I didn't see her full-blown grin at them becoming allies, but I'm sure it meant a lot to her because she's always valued Paige and Amanda and wanted to be a part of that group. She's just done so much horrible shit to them that they never really let her in, the bedbug community.
Yeah.
But this felt like an olive branch to get Lindsay in. But I don't know. I mean, did we already say that just Paige and Amanda both sort of missed the most like chaotic events of Carl and Lindsay's dynamic? So it's easier to be on Lindsay's side because they don't have the full story now.
Right. No, I don't really get their angle except that maybe they just truly don't want her to feel like shit on and like without an ear.
Yeah.
Also, Gabby wasn't there that weekend, so she didn't have an ally, but I don't know. And then Lindsay's like, I feel like he thought I was gonna change once we were together. And then, I mean, it was kind of a dig. Amanda in her interview is like, I think Carl thought that once they were committed to each other that she would treat him with respect.
Yeah. And that if she did get activated, Carl wouldn't get the brunt of the full Lindsay activation. And then in the after show, they talk about that with Danielle. And Danielle says, that's exactly how I felt last year when Lindsay was yelling at me. She was treating me like trash, like someone who hadn't been her good friend. She was treating me like how she treats all of her enemies.
Mm.
So she's been a recipient of that too. So when Lindsay got activated, she gave her the full power of her wrath and ignored that she was a friend. Uh-huh. And that's how Carl feels too. Like,
did
why don't I get
Danielle acknowledge that she felt bad that Carl was treated that way? Was that the angle? What was she?
Danielle did not say that she has any sympathy towards either side, but she just let it be known, which, and also Lindsay and Danielle were not sitting together in the same after show. You know how they separate them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's very possible still the theory that Danielle is just learning in real time what, you know, the horrors of Lindsay and Carl. So I don't know.
And then, so on this side, Lindsay's like taking these allies and saying like, yeah, I get no respect in this house. Everyone takes Carl's side or whatever. Then in the other conversation, Carl's like, sounds like I need to go to anger management. Like, I'm willing to do that. And all the guys are like, huh?
Jesse says very cautiously, but and just with like, you know, curiosity, he's like, do you think you're an angry guy? Because you don't seem that angry to me.
Yeah. And Kyle's like, just make sure that you're not completely giving in on all these concessions because that'll lead to resentment, which is like a killer. And he said, like, they're talking about if the wedding is too soon, given the complications that have been going on. And Carl said that one of their during one of their big fights, he mentioned moving the wedding a few months to January, and that Lindsay like freaked the fuck out and was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Lindsay's like, they're telling her, you know, they're like, do you feel like maybe you guys got together too soon or like, you know, whatever. And Lindsay's like, I feel like there are miniature red flags, but not red enough to be a deal breaker. And the episode ends with Paige being like, just need to let you know, you if you don't feel confident, you don't have to do it. It's easier to break up than to get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to give, a shout out to Jesse because he did a really good job of like Kyle and Craig were sort of giving very ambiguous like statements about Carl. They were kind of like, have you ever considered possibly, you know, maybe pushing or whatever? But then Jesse just said it. He was like, I know I shouldn't give advice and I'm just coming as an outside observer, but what we're all saying is, do you think it's too soon for you to get married when you're having these complications? So he put it to him very bluntly. Yeah. But
well, it's great because he doesn't have the history with either of them. So he can just see it completely clearly that like what I'm seeing is not good. Like, yeah. I don't care what the background is or how you met, how long you've been together or whatever. All I'm seeing is that every weekend you guys are tearing each other's heads off.
Yeah. And what's that called? Like an outsider perspective.
Yeah.
Like sometimes that's just so valuable. Like, yeah. Jesse's just new to this dynamic.
It's very clear to him.
And he's shocked. So they're both getting the same feedback.
Yeah.
On either end, right?
Yeah. Basically everyone in the entire house is like, oh no.
But I think Lindsay is obviously not taking it to heart and saying, I'm ready to race through to the finish line. And Carl is the one really taking what Jesse, Kyle, and Craig are saying to heart. And he's thinking about it obviously much right. more than Lindsay because he ultimately makes the decision.
So we now have evidence that he at least once asked to postpone the wedding, which would lend itself to the anti-blindside campaign.
Right. So start your engines is really a double entendre, meaning maybe possibly start your engines toward the demise of Carl and Lindsay's relationship, as yes. well as being a sort of car metaphor.
Yes.
I want to say Kyle was very outspoken in the after show and said, he says he watches Lindsay interviews now in this current era. And he says, I am absolutely shocked because it seems like we never even filmed the show because she sounds like she doesn't know anything that happened. He said, you are going to look like an idiot saying that this was a blindside.
Yes. So I can't wait. I need to watch that immediately.
Yeah. So it was good. Everyone should watch the Summer House after show. And if you're not watching Summer House, I don't know what the hell you just listened to, but Summer House is ripping. It is so good. And even an episode where there's not a lot of conflict, like Carl and Lindsay having the worst fights you've ever seen, it's just so fun. And yeah. all of the cast members are like fun, funny, cool, and they're all having the best time and they're yes. partying. Like, it's like, it's not about conflict, this show, even though there is a lot of conflict. Sometimes, even when they're all just like loving each other and having fun, like they were at camping, it's just fun to watch. You don't totally. Always have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't recommend it more.
Good. All right. Well, we're done. We're going to open all of our Vanderpump Villa stuff. I'm going to put on the lotion, the perfume. I'm going to take a bath. And then we're done. This is a special Summer House episode. I hope you all liked it. We're going to get it today.
Good Friday.
All right. Okay, we love you so much. Bye.
Bye. All on the piano. Piano crazy old girls, pour your heart out. Watch your blues turn gold on the piano. Piano crazy old girls, keep it real cold. Because it's a fired up world.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.